Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it's draft day, Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. Good night's sleep, ready to roll. Tonight is the night of nights. Been a draft, Nick, for 30 years, 20 years, however long I've been doing this. Love the NFL draft forever. J-Mac, I think you feel the same way. It is now almost its own professional sport. We talk more about the draft. The ratings for the draft are bigger than most sports regular season games. Tonight, all in, streaming, radio, audio, TV, massive numbers for something that had just grown and grown and grown. Now they're moving it around the country. It's in Detroit. Great city, so I can't wait for tonight.
Yeah, teams have done a great job keeping things under wraps as to what's going to happen at 2, 3. Like, there's still some mystery. That hasn't been the case in recent years.
All right, my final mock draft 1 hour from now. So, draft rumors. This morning, the rumor is 3 teams have called the Chargers about that number 5 overall pick. I've been told the Chargers want to move down. Here's my 3 big takes tonight. Number 1, Arizona has 11 picks, 2 in the first, and 3 in the third. They're going to win the draft. They're going to get the most good players. And the reason the draft tonight is going to get bigger ratings, if you take their TV ratings on the two networks it's on, than any NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL regular season game, and some of those playoff games in those sports, is Arizona. Arizona does what happens to 1 or 2 or 3 teams a year. You change your entire franchise, right? 6 or 7 of those draft picks out of 11 become starters. 4 or 5 are really good starters. And remember, Houston did this last year, and they went into a draft without a quarterback yet. So Arizona's got all these picks, all these premium picks, and they've got a star quarterback. So I think Arizona wins the draft. They'll come out of the weekend the most improved team. My second take is the most fascinating team will be the Chargers. They want to move down. That's why Jim Harbaugh has been on this. J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in the draft. He wants people to believe that because he wants more of a frenzy in the top 5 picks so he can move down and improve his team. So he's trying to create urgency. Harbaugh also may select several Michigan players. They want to move down, I'm told. I'm not sure they'll get a taker. I think New England probably gets a taker at 3, but I think they'll be the most fascinating team. And finally, the Chicago Bears will make the discussion last for 20 years. 20 years from now, there's a possibility the only draft we talk about of all these teams drafting tonight My guess is the Chicago Bears. It's hard to explain how inept they have been offensively. They have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards. How is that possible? They've never had a quarterback, not one, throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. The Packers have done that 18 times with four different quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears butcher quarterback like rock stars trashed hotel rooms in the 80s. They just can't get it right. They even when they draft talented people, they screw it up. But this Chicago team is different. The general manager is a former player. He's had a great last year. They have good wide receivers, two of them. Good tight ends, two of them. A nice running back who can catch the ball in the offensive line. Ryan Poles, the GM's a former offensive lineman. It's a pretty interesting young offensive line. And this is the draft. Hard to screw it up. Best quarterback talent, arguably, since Josh Allen or Andrew Luck. And the Bears have Carolina's pick, so they have number one, and they're going to take Caleb Williams, a guy who doesn't throw interceptions and scores a lot of touchdowns. And behind bad O-lines with one receiver of note, Jordan Addison, now a Viking, they led the nation in offense the last 2 years. So this is my take. Arizona comes out of the weekend the most improved team. The Chargers draft, they furiously want to move down, will be the most fascinating and the most historic for an NFL historic franchise will be the Chicago Bears. I think they finally get quarterback right, and even they won't screw it up. Draft tonight. Can't wait. One NBA story worth talking about today. Not sure if you watched it, but the Celtics, and this has become sort of a regular thing, lost at home again in the playoffs. They are 6-7 at home last 2 years. Ask yourself a question for all those who push back on my cynicism. Maybe that's too strident a word, but my questions about the Celtics. Ask yourself this. Name the last great NBA champion that was bad at home in the playoffs. Now, Miami was absurdly hot. Miami shot 44 threes and hit 23 of them. Over 53%. That's insane. Won't happen again. An all-time playoff shooting night. But it's sort of a theme now, isn't it? This great Celtic team loses a home playoff game and or Jason Tatum can shrink late in games. One of those two things happens, sometimes both, with sort of regularity. And here's the thing with the Celtics. Be totally honest. There's nothing to fear about the Celtics. MJ and the Bulls' physicality, intimidating. Shaq, Kobe, Shaq coming downhill, intimidating. That blizzard of talent with the Miami Heat, LeBron and D-Wade in their prime, intimidating. There have been a lot of teams you fear. Steph, Clay, KD embarrassing you with an onslaught of threes, blowing you out in the playoffs by 30. Fear. The Celtics? Well, they're deep. Nobody fears the Celtics. Nobody's afraid to go into the Garden. Certainly not Miami. In fact, I would argue that Miami creates fear. Playoff, Jimmy. Heat cultures on the jerseys. More than a slogan, it's who they are. Will Spoelstra outcoach your coach late in games? There's a lot to fear about Miami. Nobody wants to play Miami in the playoffs. Yet last night, after beating the Celtics in Boston, Jimmy Butler is trolling the Celtics. Got an Instagram post showing him in a Celtic jersey. Says, don't let us get one. You do not troll Mike Tyson in his prime. And if all these good NBA teams were heavyweight fighters, the Celtics feel more like Larry Holmes than Tyson. They'll jab you, but the knockout punches, not that memorable. I don't know. Fear is supposed to be a real thing with great teams. I mean, the Spurs may have been boring, but they would mechanically and efficiently wear you out. LeBron, D-Wade in their prime, watch out. Steph, Clay, KD, Shaq downhill, Kobe on the perimeter, MJ's relentlessness, the Bulls' length and defense, Phil Jackson's coaching. Who fears the Celtics? They're not even good at home. I mean, really, now the pressure's all on Boston. Miami has home court, and Miami has the better coach. Here's Charles Barkley after.
This was a shocker to me. This team let it started last game. When you're up 34 and you let them back in the game, you get from 34 to 12, they probably got some things going. But number one, you have to say to yourself, what the hell is going on when those guys play at home? Even, and I'm not even just talking about tonight, but for the talent they've had the last 4 or 5 years, to be 500 at home is something, I don't even know how to explain that.
Exactly. Go look at the past four postseasons. Celtics are like hovering around 500, under 500 at home. That's not the way it works. Shaq and Kobe, D-Wade, LeBron, MJ's Bulls. I mean, they'd lose an occasional home game. You didn't want to go into that building. It was an L. Almost always an L. Boston, it's a coin flip. And now the pressure's all on the Celtics. All of it. Home court advantage Miami, better coach Miami. Again, the Eastern Conference is so weak as they roll through it. It's almost like college football. If you play in a weaker conference like Clemson for years and you roll over everybody, and if you come from a stronger conference, the Big Ten or the SEC, you kind of look at, are we overvaluing? And we do this, we overvalue teams from weaker conferences who bully ball teams all regular season. Once again, Boston, all the pressure, losing home court advantage. I don't like to say cynicism, because I do think Boston should roll through the East, but it is hard to explain. Does anybody fear the Celtics? And what would you fear about them? They're deep? That's not really something you generally fear. A relentless player, Jokic, an unstoppable player, efficiency, maniacal, tough, physical. I'll tell you a team that worries me. I wouldn't want to play the Knicks. I got nothing to lose. House money. Nobody plays harder than the Knicks. They're winning and Jalen Brunson's playing poorly. What do you fear about the Celtics? They got talent. It's the NBA. So's OKC. So's Minnesota. J-Mac, that was interesting. I don't know. I still think Boston's going to win the series, but yeah. It's Barkley's on this. Yeah. How do you explain it? 4 years now, not very good at home.
I'll try. First of all, we gave out heat first quarter yesterday. Remember on the show?
Yes.
I said, hold your nose. Plug
and tonight, Philadelphia plus the points, best bet on the board.
Well, they're favored Philadelphia tonight.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Excuse me, -5. They're gonna blow them out.
I think they wax the Knicks. But real quick, so do you remember the 2015 Warriors? The first year Curry won the title, they won 67 games, and all season long, Barkley and the TNT crew, they're soft jump shooters. This team's not built. And they fall down 2-1 to Memphis Grizzlies and Tony Allen and those guys.
Yeah.
And everybody, Warriors, they were frauds. That's what this feels like. Miami Heat have a fluky game, make 23 threes. Everybody's saying, Boston, I don't know. I saw somebody, Kevin O'Connor, the guy who comes on here, said this Celtics would get swept by Denver. They can't match with them. Like, all these guys are hammering the Celtics off one game.
But it is more of a theme. It's not one game. It's 4 years of being mediocre at home.
I'll buy that. That's an issue. I don't understand why they come up lame at home.
Denver's not only good at home, they have an altitude advantage, and they have a great player. Whereas Boston has Jason Tatum, who we continue to worry about closing out a huge series.
Who's we? Who's we? I'm not worried about Tatum. Celtics in 5, right?
Oh, okay.
Come on. They were supposed to sweep these guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. What a day. NFL draft day. Joel Klatt, Greg Cosell, Diana Russini, we are loaded.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
All right, this is my final mock. I'm going to get one pick right for sure, and that's about it. But let's play the game. This is kind of my gut feeling. I do have one trade in it. I'm not going to try to guess throughout, but I do think Minnesota wants to move up. They may not, but I kind of think they accumulated a second first-round pick to move up, and I think I know who they like. So here we go. All right, first pick is easy. Chicago gets Caleb Williams. They've got really nice weapons. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. I think Ryan Poles has done a really good job. I was out on him early. He whiffed on a couple of receivers, Chase Claypool, Velus Jones. But we have to be fair in this business. His last six or seven moves, I've loved all of them. Montez Sweat, we loved. Everybody else didn't. I think Ryan Poles is the GM for the future. Caleb's the quarterback for the future. That was an easy one. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels to Washington. That's what I've been told by a source I trust. I think Drake may have a higher ceiling, but I think they go with a kid that can play. He's the Lamar Jackson. They've been watching him in Baltimore. Now they get their Lamar Jackson. Highly productive. Lots of starts, beautiful deep ball, Terry McLaurin, Cliff Kingsbury. He can sort of hide that average O-line for the first couple of years. I think he's terrific. I have him at 2, and he's ready to play now. I think the Vikings are moving up, and I think they want Drake May, and I think they move up 2 first to get him. I think they're moving up somewhere to get him, and this is my guess. Listen, the kid had 26 TDs and 1 pick on 3rd and 4th downs. He's a little raw. So was Mahomes. So was Lamar. So was Jordan Love. So was Josh Allen. He's the youngest of 4 boys. That's a really good sign. He's never had elite weapons all over the field. He's had to elevate others. I think Drake May goes to the Vikings at 3. New England, by the way, goes back to 11. Cardinals take Marvin Harrison, arguably best player in the draft. They don't have a very good receiving core. It's Chris Moore. It's Michael Wilson. It's kind of guys. They have a tight end I like, a quarterback I love, a running back I like a lot. This rounds it out with a defensive coach. They've also got 3/3, another first. Harrison is money. As good a college receiver I've seen since maybe a Calvin Johnson. And now it's up to the Chargers. I think they want to move down. I don't think they'll get any takers. J.C. Latham is the right tackle of note in this draft. Plays like a bully, people mover. They call him Violent Hands. He's classic Harbaugh. I don't see him getting a receiver again in the first round. Quentin Johnston feels like a semi-miss to this point. And now we go to 6. I don't think They want the fourth quarterback. I think they're going to get a star receiver. They're paying Daniel Jones. Malik Nabers. Listen, the LSU's a receiver factory. He's a playmaker, led the nation in big-time catches, 34 catches of over 20 yards. So my guess is, oh, you know, a lot of these LSU receivers end up being really good and really productive in year one, and they just have a lack of weapons now that Saquon Barkley is gone. Giants take Malik Nabers. I think the Titans would move down and get another tackle, but Joe Alt's the best one right now at left tackle, a true left tackle, so I think they take him. Notre Dame, he's athletic. He was played a little defensive end, tight end in high school. Brian Kelly told us this week their only question was, could they put weight on him and get him over 300 pounds? I think he's really good. I don't know if he's Trent Williams good, but he's a very, very good left tackle. And again, if Will Levis is going to succeed, he can't do it on his back. They get a left tackle. I think Atlanta, Jarrett's a good defensive tackle, but he's getting up there in age. I think they go with Byron Murphy. They upgraded their offense in the offseason. They went and got Kirk Cousins. They got Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore. They are stacked on offense. They're going defense, and I think they're going to go on the inside with a D tackle. I like Atlanta a lot. I think they win their division. I think they have great offensive pieces. I think they'll be one of the higher scoring offenses in the NFL. But to score, you need the ball. And to get the ball, you got to make stops. And they'll get a big guy inside. Bears had the fewest sacks in the league. I think they go with Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama. He's consistent. Listen, Alabama edges, Will Anderson, they do well in the NFL. And again, I think the Bears are more than talented on offense. And I think Matt Eberflus, head coaches make more than GMs, will pound on the table and say, listen, we got a corner in Jalen Johnson. We got Montez Sweat. You got to give me a complimentary edge rusher. And this kid's a, you know, Alabama edge rushers in my life have done pretty well under out of Nick Saban's program. Here we go. Jets take the smart decision. Offensive tackle, Oregon State, highest graded run blocker, Talisi Wonga out of Oregon State. Again, right tackle, you can move him inside. I don't want to hear about Brock Bowers. He's a tight end. He's very good. History is rough on tight ends in the first round. Even Kyle Pitts was a lock, and it hasn't worked out so far. They went and got two old tackles. Go get a young one. Go get a bedrock right tackle. This is the move to make. I take him at 10. Okay, the Vikings traded this pick to New England. They get a number one receiver in Rome Odunze. A grown-up, productive, ready to play. Got better every year with Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer. Listen, New England has a million needs. They need draft capital and weapons. And I'd argue that right now is almost more valuable than a quarterback. And they may be a Jaden Daniels fan and he gets taken by Washington. I think it's circumstantial. I think they're going to sit and wait and to see who Washington takes. And if they take the quarterback they have higher graded, I think New England moves down and gets a wide receiver. I don't love wide receivers in the first round, but this kid's really good. I think the Broncos would trade back if they could, but if J.J. McCarthy falls to them, I think Sean Payton sees a guy that's got mobility, won a lot of games, had an NFL coach in college, so he's clearly coachable. He's used to hard coaching. I don't love J.J. McCarthy. A lot of decisions are split on this. I think it's too rich to draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix. J.J. McCarthy falls. I know there's this rumor everybody's moving up to get him. I think he'll be drafted at 12, which is much more appropriate for his skills. And I think the Raiders don't have the draft capital to move up. I don't think they're going to do it. Tom Telesco's history as a GM is not big swings moving up. And I think they take Penn State's tackle, Olufoshanu, who is a really good pass protector. Doesn't play with enough physicality. Maybe Antonio Pierce brings that out of him. But again, I don't have a problem ever taking a tackle in the first round. Outside of center, the safest position to take in the first round in the last 20 drafts is tackle. Offensive line guys whiff fewer than any other positions. Wide receivers, tight end, whiff more. So there you go. I don't know if I get any more than Caleb Wright. Joel Klatt joins us live. He'll be on the NFL Network Draft Show tonight. By the way, Brock Bowers, the tight end, is really good. But outside a wide receiver, tight end misses more than any position in the first round in the last 20 years. Some of this I would propose to you. I would submit that it's because in the NFL you have to block as a tight end, and outside of Iowa, a lot of programs don't ask their tight ends to block. My first round, first 13 picks, is a lot of tackles. I got a lot of tackles here. Am I nuts? What's your guess on that?
No, I it's a really heavy offensive tackle draft. And they're all very good players. All of those guys are going to get selected in the first round. And I think everyone that you have will get selected in the top 15. So I you're absolutely right on that one. I mean, who's throwing the ball to Rome Odunze? I mean, just like, am I? Are they signed? Like, well, I don't understand that one. New England cannot move out of three unless they can guarantee themselves that they're going to be in a position to draft one of the top six quarterbacks. So there's no way they would trade back to 11, have JJ on the board, and then pass on JJ. They also like JJ, but you're right in the fact that they want to move up. They're trying to get up into that top three for Drake May, because this Jaden Daniels, not even smoke, but the rumors and everything about him in Washington, that is very real right now. You're going to have Caleb, then you're going to have Jaden, and then the draft really starts. Is someone coming up for Drake May, and is New England willing to deal that pick? I think that's all fascinating. And the other part that I would just throw out is I want Jim Harbaugh to take Marvin Harrison Jr. just because. Because that's like the college guy in me that just wants to see it, right?
You know, it's funny that the Chargers are interesting because they do want to trade down. They need a center, a tackle, a receiver, a tight end, a defensive tackle. They have some needs. They have two fours.
Let me jump in. I'm sorry, but whatever. It's like you and I do this really well. Tight end. You brought up tight end. What if I told you, let me just play devil's advocate on tight end. Now, I get it what you're saying about first round, because all the guys I'm about to mention were not first rounders. However, you can't show me a team, maybe other than like Kansas City, their first Super Bowl, but they still have Mahomes. You can't show me a team that won a Super Bowl because their best offensive player is a wide receiver. And so your sentiment about, like, I don't love a first-round wide receiver, I might be with you on that, even though some of these guys are very talented. However, check this out. The last eight Super Bowl winners, every single one of them, they had a guy, and I would argue, as a primary offensive weapon in the passing game that owned and operated in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp with the Rams, Gronk, and Travis Kelce. So these people, including you, which you just did it, you want to devalue tight ends because of Kyle Pitts.
Yeah,
I really legitimately believe that Harbaugh might think about Brock Bowers there. Now, if he could trade back, like with Minnesota or someone, to get Brock Bowers in the middle of the first round, he is so offensive line and tight end driven. This has been his blueprint everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
I just think that Bowers has a lot more value than maybe people want to give him credit.
So what's really interesting to me, there are two teams that I think should take a quarterback first or second round. Jets don't have a second round pick. And it's the Jets and the Cowboys. So I think the kid at Tulane.
You're saying other than the obvious quarterback need teams.
Yeah, so if I was the Cowboys, I would consider Penix if he drops or Pratt in the second round. The Jets
from Tulane.
Jets would have to go to the third round or move down in the first to get a second round pick. But I do think Aaron Rodgers, I think you have to get somebody sitting behind him, somebody that's maybe a bit raw. And I think Dallas has to consider that. I'm sorry, if $60 million, $58 million is what I got to pay Dak, I'm going to roll the dice. I mean, I've only got two playoff wins in 8 years. What do you make? How far do you think Penix, Bo Nix fall? Because I've heard this from two GMs. Denver's too rich for either. 12's too rich. 15, 16 teams are more. Even the Rams at 19, I think, would consider both those guys. Is there a chance Nix or Penix fall out of the first round, in your opinion? What say you on your evaluation?
There's always a chance. There's always a chance. Now, there are six specific quarterback need teams in the first round. And I hear you about that 12 spot with Denver maybe being too rich for a Knicks or a Penix. The problem is Denver doesn't have a second round pick. So they might be forced into this. And they also don't have a lot of ammunition. Like, let's say Denver loves J.J. McCarthy or they want to maybe try to, like, move up. Well, everyone would be looking at their roster and saying, the only commodity that we value is Patrick Surtain.
Right.
They're not trading Patrick Surtain. So then you look at draft capital. They don't have any draft capital. They gave it all up for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. So Denver may be forced into a position where at the 12th selection, they can't move. They don't want to move back or can't move back based on who's available and the value there. And they might be forced into selecting one of those guys. I think Knicks has been, in my mind, a fit for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
He likes a guy that wants to operate from a more of a point guard mindset.
Yes.
And hold the ball. And that's what Knicks is.
Yeah.
Very similar to Drew Brees in terms of that mindset. But to your original question, I'm actually, if I had to bet my own money, I would be betting tonight that all six of those quarterbacks are taken tonight in the first round. I really think that we're going to get all six of them.
So I think the quarterback that's most interesting to me is Drake May, because like Jordan Love or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, he's not quite there yet, needs to be refined a tad, get the right coach. But the draft has shown us in recent years, draft the traits. If you have the right coordinator, coach, draft the traits. Don't get too caught up on college production. That's circumstantial based on coach. You know, Jaden Daniels got two more years to start over Drake May. Drake May lost a great receiver. NCAA took him out late. So, I mean, the Drake May thing's fascinating. I didn't watch a ton of him. I watched two games, and I thought I got a good one and not a good one. But, boy, he looks like Herbert. He completely looks the part. What say you on him?
I totally agree. I think his upside is as high as anybody except for Caleb in this draft. If you take Caleb off the table, Drake has the highest upside of anybody. He makes throws that Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy and even Michael Penix and Bo Nix only dream of making. Off-platform throws. He's highly competitive, which actually got himself into trouble. Without a great weapon set around him at North Carolina, he was trying to do too much. And by the way, that's also kind of the same mold that Caleb fell into at USC this year.
Yeah.
They tried to do too much based on their competitive spirit. And I think that's what got them in trouble, because now that you get into the draft process and people are like, well, he wasn't efficient enough. Well, candidly, I get so upset at these – I'm sorry, like I'm going to – I get so upset at these draft people, because they want these players to play specifically for their draft evaluation and not for the actual wins in front of them on the field. It's like, well, he didn't complete enough. You know, his completion percentage wasn't high enough. You show me a guy that protects his completion percentage, and I'll show you a guy that does not win. Now, I know that Drake didn't win at an incredible clip, but he was trying to. That's the competitive spirit I want. Youngest of four, you talked about it, very athletic family. You know that he's tough, and he's got a tough spirit about him. The throws he makes, and I would just say this, and I know you watched this game, the Holiday Bowl, not this last year, but the year before, when he played against Oregon, Dan Lanning's first year at Oregon, he made a couple of throws that made me come right out of my seat. And they're throws that nobody else makes. And if this guy sits for a year, he will be a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Awesome. So the Bears, I said my three takes on the draft, Arizona with 11 picks, two first-rounders, three in the third, will be the most improved team Monday. They'll do a Houston. They'll do a Houston, but Houston went into the draft without even having a quarterback. So Arizona's got the quarterback.
Yeah, but why not Chicago, though?
Well, no, so I said Arizona will be the most improved team. Because I don't
expect, well, I'm saying why not Chicago?
Because it being a rookie quarterback in a good division's hard. The Chargers will be the most fascinating draft.
But the Texans just did it.
Well, but they weren't Super Bowl. They were they overachieved. We loved them. It was a neat story. Chicago's not going to be a Super Bowl team.
A neat story.
Well, I mean, I think Chicago's going to have the draft that in 20 years we're still talking about. Because I think Caleb's going to be their first star quarterback ever. I mean, they've never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns. The Packers have done it 18 times with four quarterbacks. Bears have never done it once. This will be, for a blue blood franchise, the draft 20 years from now that you go, oh, remember that draft? We got Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So, by the way.
But you still think, so in 20 years, the Bears will have the best draft, but Monday it's going to be the Cardinals?
No, no. Arizona is going to be the most improved team overnight. Chicago's in a division. Green Bay and Detroit are stacked. Those are the best two teams in the division. And I think the best coach may be in Minnesota. And if Darnold is okay, they'll vie for a playoff. Arizona's going to get seven starters out of this thing. In a division where Seattle...
They could.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're getting... Now, again, there's a difference between the best team Monday. I'm being realistic about Caleb, so let's pivot to this. I think Caleb's going to be 24 touchdowns, 8 picks, 90 passer rating, spectacular, little rough, got to win by shootouts in this division. It's an excellent division, and they finish 8-9. Is that reasonable?
I'm actually more bullish on Chicago. I think if you look at the quarterback needy teams, the ones that are likely to take a quarterback, the two best possible situations to go into are Chicago and Minnesota because of the weapons around the young quarterback, right? You outlined that when you were going through your mock. I love this idea that you have of like Dallas Turner potentially slipping past Atlanta and getting to Chicago.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, or even if they were to go like Jared Verse or something along those lines, I think that you could be in a situation where for the third straight year, you have a team in the National Football League have both the offensive and defensive rookie of the year in pro football. We had it with Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson last year with Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. And if you got a top end, you know, edge player at 9, Chicago could be in that mode as well, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I get it about the division. I'm less enthused about Minnesota. I like Kevin O'Connell. I don't know for me, like, how is this Darnold young quarterback situation going to go, in particular with Justin Jefferson? Like, when does he start getting upset about not getting the ball or not getting the ball on time? Is he going to be willing to allow these quarterbacks to grow or wait? I'm not sure. Whereas, like, Caleb's going to a place where he's going to be the guy, there's offensive weapons around him, and there's an organization that is in a much better position to succeed than they were when they drafted Justin Fields. They remind me much more of the Houston Texans last year than the Carolina Panthers. I think we would all agree with that. And that's why I think we might be selling Caleb's impact on the National Football League next year short. I think it could be pretty profound. This guy has a skill set that we have not seen come out of college football ever. He's a mixture of a great pocket passer and Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes didn't have any of his pocket presence or schematic presence when he came out of Texas Tech. And yet you've also got the ability to be off platform outside of the pocket and be an absolute weapon throwing the ball down the field. So I think we might, because we've seen him for so long and people get turned off with the nail polish and the crying, and I think we might be selling short Caleb's impact on the NFL next season.
Okay. I don't dislike that. I think Green Bay and Detroit are stacked. I think those teams are really good. You know what? If Caleb gets drafted number one to celebrate, I could do nail polish Monday. Why not? Why not go all in on him?
I mean, don't bring it up unless you're going to do it. I mean, you saw Harbaugh. He got the tattoo. He claimed he was going to get a tattoo, and he got his tattoo. So now all he's got to do is get taken number one, and you're wearing nail polish Monday?
Let me think about it. Give me a segment to think about it.
I feel like you're backtracking. We're backtracking. What are we doing?
NFL Network, Joel Klatt. Have fun tonight. I'm jealous. That's one of the few nights I like to be on the road and working. Good stuff, Klatt. Great seeing you, buddy. That division's going to be crazy. What if the Vikings get Drake May and the Bears get Caleb Williams? I'm going to have Jared Goff, Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jordan Love. Holy, I mean, that's insane talent.
I want to go back to something Klatt said. Did he really say there is momentum for McCarthy to go two?
I don't see it.
What are we doing? If that happens?
You started this. Listen, you're the guy a year ago.
In November top 10, but I did not say anywhere near number two ahead of May and Daniel. That's crazy. This would be, Colin.
I'm told by somebody who's been 3 for 3 with me in my life on sourcing that Jaden's going two. But again, But again, I mean, Bill Belichick says until 12 hours before the draft, you're not sure. What if somebody sweetens the pot and gives them two firsts? And they're like, all right. I mean, what if New England at three likes somebody at two but not at three? I mean, who knows?
Well, that's probably why we haven't seen any trades yet, right? Other than that one Vikings to accumulate
another
pick.
Don't know. Everybody thinks they know. I've never seen a mock draft, even in the first round, that's 50% right.
Yeah, that doesn't
I've never
exist.
Seen one. If you could, like, I know I'm going to get the first pick right. I think I'm getting the second one right. And I think I got Tennessee at Joe Alt feels right.
Yeah. How about this? Over, under 2.5 trades in the top 10 tonight. Which
that's
would be
too
like
rich.
The first
under. That's too under? Rich. Teams don't want to trade up. They do. Like, a prime example of fascinating to me is the New York Giants. So the coach and the GM want a new quarterback. They do. You look around the league. Daniel Jones is arguably, of the 16 NFC teams, the 13th best NFC quarterback. At best, 10th. And the AFC is the better quarterback conference. So I look at the Giants and they're like, man, we could change everything. And you got a GM and a head coach that could be in trouble. So it's the Giants, I mean, I know two things. The Giants want a quarterback. They're praying somebody falls to them, but they don't want to move up and give up because they have some elements. Kayvon Thibodeau. They've got good defensive linemen. They're pretty good in the box defensively. You don't want to give up any of that stuff. So and you can't give up too much draft capital because you need it for pieces.
So it's like Giants, Vikings.
There's some really Chargers.
Patriots, Chargers.
There's about four of these teams that are. I think Dallas, I don't think Tennessee wants to move. Chicago doesn't want to move with their first pick. I think the Jets are happy where they're at to go get a really good tackle.
There's always mystery team. Do the Raiders, Jaden Daniels falls to three or four.
Here's the downside to getting Aaron Rodgers. All right, the only reason you got Aaron Rodgers because Zach Wilson busted. So you were kind of trapped. You wouldn't have gone if Zach Wilson played. So you had to, what you did is you kind of reached and gave up stuff because you whiffed it too. So that's the danger of whiffing on a quarterback. Oh, we have to go get a quarterback. We're in New York. We've been bad forever, right? So you go get Aaron Rodgers because you whiffed on Zach Wilson. Yeah. Well, the downside, they're doubling down on that. Now there's rumors they're going to go get a playmaker.
No, that's...
That's not what they need. They need multiple picks. They don't have a second-round pick. Yeah. So the problem with the Jets, when I hear that story, A, they whiffed on a quarterback, so then they had to kind of get an old quarterback who is prickly in a better organization. Green Bay was like, take him. And then now they may double down and go, let's reach and move up for a receiver. Ugh. It's like, oh, Jets, that's not what you do.
So
even with Aaron, the whole story with Aaron is simple. If Aaron plays every regular season game, you'll be a viable football team. If you're the Jets, get out of the Super Bowl talk. Can you be viable? Can you sell your stadium out in week 15? And if you win, you have a chance to be a wild card team. You got to lower your expectations.
Who's winning the division, Colin?
Buffalo, again. The best quarterback wins the division mostly in the league.
Stephon Diggs is gone. Like five starters on defense are gone.
You know what? They were winning that division pre-Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson ends up getting to the playoffs every year. And, you know, it's funny. Patrick Mahomes this year, worst receiving core in the league, won the Super Bowl.
Anybody
quarterback's right, you'll make the playoffs.
Over the Buffalo Bills wide receiver room. You can just bring another safety in the box. Josh Allen, you're not going anywhere, buddy. I'm just telling you, the Buffalo Bills are heading. And you know, I don't want to say it too loudly with the Bengals fan here, but this T. Higgins wants out, and Trey Hendrickson wants to trade. That Super Bowl window for the Bengals starting to shrink. Joe Mixon's out of town.
I don't think you're wrong on that. Well, Bills didn't win the division before Stephon Diggs, I'm told. They were good. They made the playoffs. They made the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor. So you got a good coach. You have a star defensive front. You got a star quarterback. Now they have a running back that's really good, an elite tight end. They're going to be fine. Buffalo's going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. Okay. 9-8 is fine.
They're not a 9-8 team. They're not a 9. New England's not going to score this year. They're 2-0 right there, and they're not getting swept by the Jets, and they're not getting swept by Miami. So you got four wins right in division. The fully electric EQS sedan from Mercedes, innovation on a magnificent scale, available with the epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen. The vehicle's all electric. The choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Firestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Firestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Diana Russini, The Athletic, senior NFL insider, covered the NFL for almost a decade. All right, this has got us all worked up. She's out there doing what she does. This is crazy. So we just got into this discussion. Look at her smirk on her face. That's somebody that's got information.
My smirk is because you're fighting the information rather than just sitting back and hugging it and embracing and feeling grateful for it. You're so mad that the Rams are making calls in the top 10 right now to try to get up.
Okay, well, we've established maybe I'm not sure what to do. My take is they don't need a quarterback. They like their tackles. Jared Verse, but I don't think he's a top 10 pick. So are we sure it's a top 10 move?
Are you questioning my report? Yes, Colin. I wouldn't put it out there if it wasn't true. It's my job, right? So it's accurate. So they've been working the phones, trying to move up because, as you know, when it comes to the draft, there's a lot of organizations with the philosophy, if you love a guy, you go get him,
right,
and you do what it takes. And there's obviously a player that Sean McVay is in love with right now, and they are willing for the first time since 2016 with that first-round pick move up to go get that guy. So we don't know who that's going to be just yet, but, you know, we could probably go through it all. I can tell you, I do not believe this to be a quarterback, right? So there have been some people that have thought that maybe this is a direction they would go with Matthew Stafford getting older, and perhaps there being a need there in the backup position. But I don't really believe that, that's the direction they're going in, especially knowing the other quarterback situations that are happening at the top of the draft.
So my guess was Jared Verse. I mean, they need an edge rusher. And, like, you know, they don't need to tackle a quarterback, and they've got two receivers. My guess is Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, who Greg Cosell said an hour ago is the best he's ever seen on tape. Greg Cosell is not hyperbolic. So my take is Tyler Higbee got hurt in the final game. They went and got a backup from Seattle. Tyler's expensive. You don't want to pay tight ends a lot of money. That is my guess. I know you can't say and everything like that, but I'm just doing process of elimination. They need an edge. I know they're interested in tight end. They would get a receiver, but this is a receiver-rich draft. They don't need a tackle. Jared Verse they like, but he'll be available at 14. That's my guess. Okay, so there we go.
I think it would make I think it would make sense if they're going to make this kind of move to go after an offensive type player, knowing Sean probably wants another toy there. You know, so Brock Bowers would make that would not shock me at all.
Yeah.
And obviously Greg Cosell knows a lot and he nails a lot of these things. So I don't think any of us are going to be shocked. I'm just concerned though, because I had heard the Jets had really liked Bowers as well there. So I'm curious who they're going to be able to get in front or who they're going to be able to trade out with, if this can even happen, to try to make that move to beat the Jets, let's say, if it is Bowers that they're going after.
I mean, look how fast this kid is. Jesus, look at this kid.
A lot can happen, Colin. Like, we got a lot of time here.
Yeah.
But the fact, it tells you a lot that they're already making these calls in here, and I've now heard it from two different teams. So they're aggressive here trying to make this happen.
Yeah, okay, I'll go Brock Bowers. That's my guess. I know the Higbee injury concerned them, and I know they don't want to pay a ton. They don't want to pay a ton to tight ends, so that's my guess. Okay, Broncos at 12. So I heard another story they're moving up, not from you. My guess is they want Knicks, but they could get him later. Give me what? Well, you're smiling at me. At this point,
I'm laughing because you're like, not from you. Like, actually, it was from me. I put a column out yesterday on The Athletic, and I went very aggressive saying that the Denver Broncos are in the quarterback market. Yes, Zach Wilson's there. Awesome. Great. I think he will be a great quarterback project, you know, for Sean Payton, who I do believes that Zach Wilson has some talent and maybe perhaps just a new change of environment, a new staff. Davis Webb, obviously, there, the quarterback's coach that everyone raves about out there in Denver. So he's not the starter, though. Zach Wilson was not traded to be the starter. So Broncos need a quarterback, and I believe that Sean Payton is going to put together a package if there's a guy there that he loves. When he was in New Orleans and him and Mickey Loomis worked together, that was always that philosophy in that building. If you love him, go get him. So if Sean Payton has a quarterback right now that he loves, I would not put it past him to put everything together as a package that would blow the doors off just to get the guy. It's just, is there a quarterback that's going to be available that he's going to do that for? And is there going to be a team open to doing that?
Finally, Patriots, third pick. I could argue they should move back and improve the roster. I could argue get Drake May. What's your hunch on New England, number three?
I think if Bill Belichick was there, they would trade out.
Yeah.
I think they would try to build this thing that just how we saw in Houston. But I have a good feeling, and I think the teams that are calling to move up there believe that Drake May is going to be their selection. A few days ago, I was told that there were people in that building that really liked J.J. McCarthy. Right. And they were just trying to all get on the same page. This happens. We know this time of year, especially with the newer staff, obviously ownership here, overseeing all of this, making sure they get this right. They want a quarterback. And sometimes that pressure, you know, why take any risks of missing out on getting a quarterback to move out to try to get back up and take that risk of not getting back up? And that's the problem. And that's really where I'm sensing some anxiety from a lot of different teams right now that are in the quarterback market. Nobody wants to get boxed out. So it's going to be really interesting to see who's going to be the first team to trade out. And it, right now for me, it feels that the Chargers would be the team most open to moving out to for a team that is hungry for a quarterback.
All right. Senior NFL insider, The Athletic.
Pushing. Don't get so mad at me.
I'm not mad. I just, I the Rams, this is aggressive. This is less as being aggressive. And so to me, to do that move, you're not getting Caleb and you're not getting Harrison. So we have three players that are considered all-time talents. Caleb is an all-timer. Harrison's an all-timer. Brock Bowers is an all-timer. Rest of these guys are, Joe Alt's good. He's not Trent Williams. We got three all-time talents. Sean's not moving up for a guy who's good. He's not getting Caleb and he's not getting Harrison. So my guess is the Georgia. Okay.
He's in love.
Yeah, well, you know what happens when you're in love.
What happens? Tell me.
Starry eyes, you go crazy, you know.
Look, they're aggressive. They're just making those calls, right? It doesn't mean anything's done. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But the fact that they're poking around and apparently pretty determined to get in there tells you they got a plan.
Good stuff. Great seeing you, as always. Great seeing you.
Love seeing you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dekovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dekovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dekovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dekovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.